Hallelujah. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. You know, the psalmist said, I was glad in my heart when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. And so we're in the house of the Lord. And as I always say, thank you, Carleen, for that. Praise God. Why don't we just give her a round of applause there and just thank her. Amen. And it's just always great and a privilege to come and minister the word of God. And this morning, the word that God has put on my heart is what I've titled the message, or we could say the message of the cross. Amen? And, you know, I think it's just so key and significant for us, you know, at this point in time to remind ourselves, you know, that it's a message that we often know very well and quote, but I feel like God wants to stir our hearts once again, even as we lead up to our guest service that's coming up very soon. Amen? So I want to bring a word of encouragement to minister to us today. How many watch the football? Yeah. But you know what? Don't I sense like a kind of limp, like, you know, sadness. No, you know, this is the best England has actually done since 1966. Yeah. I think this is the best team that I've seen fielded and play. Amen. So we are making great strides. And I'm sure the coach, Gareth Southgate, you know, he'd be very proud of his team, and I'm sure that he is. Amen? And so chin up, guys. Don't be sad. It is well. It is well. I know the World Cup finals are today. It's in France, and is it France and Croatia? Is that right? Yep, indeed. How many are going to be watching that game? Don't know, no. Some will be. Praise God. You know, but messages. You know, we have all sorts of messages going back and forth. You know, I looked at the word message, and it means, you know, a communication containing some news, some information, advice, etc., conveyed or carried by a messenger. And the very airwaves often are jammed with messages, you know, going back and forth. How many have your smartphone on you right now even? You know, we make the announcement and say, no, turn off your smartphone and put it on silence so that it maybe just vibrates, it doesn't ring and disturb the service. But, you know, messages continually are going back and forth in our world today. We are continuously communicating with each other. Amen? We're communicating, you know, back and forth, and messages basically can even jam the airways. You know, if you're like me, sometimes it can almost be like you have an overload with messages. And so, you know, we have messages by text. You know, we have email. We have Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and the list continues. And sometimes you just want to, if you're like me, sometimes you just want to shut down and turn those things off and just have some peace. I know that some of the youth will disagree. You know, they're always on their phone. I can imagine my son, you know, somewhere at the breakfast table. I'm thinking, we're going to be late for school soon and you need to hurry up. And he's got his phone sort of in front of him, you know, at the table, still looking at something. I think, really? Are you serious? You know? But, you know, that's another generation. You know, they say this is the tech, you know, generation and technology age. And really, there is so much information in the air and in the atmosphere at any point in time. But you know, there is a key and important message that God is communicating to the earth. Amen? That God is communicating to mankind. And, you know, if you turn with me right now to the book of 1 Corinthians and the first chapter. So the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And let's look at the 18th verse. If I can have that in the New King James Version, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the 18th verse. It says this. For the message of the cross is foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness. Everyone say foolishness. You can say it was an attitude. Say foolishness. Put some attitude into it. You know, the message of the cross is foolishness, but foolishness to who? So to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, so when we say foolishness to those who are perishing, sometimes, you know, we can get this attitude in our minds. So I want us to look at another scripture before we kind of pass judgments subconsciously in our minds to those who are perishing. So turn with me again to the book of Titus and chapter 3. I'm going to look at the third verse. So Thessalonians, Timothy, then Titus. So Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves were once also," or also once what?
Foolish.
We ourselves. So before we start to point the finger, someone said, when you point the finger, there's at least three that are pointing back to you. So we ourselves were also once foolish. I was once foolish when I didn't believe. Amen? So, and then it says, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So that was our state once upon a time. You know, I think it's in the book of Ephesians that says, once upon a time we were dead in our sins and trespasses. So he's talking about the old nature, the old past. That, so we ourselves were once foolish. But let's move on to the fourth verse there. And it says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you say praise God?
Praise
Amen.
God.
You know, isn't God good? You know, that is the goodness of God. So God has saved us. So not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according, okay, to his righteousness, okay? According to God's righteousness, it says through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. I want to look at that word regeneration there, because it comes from a Greek word that basically means renovation and restoration of that which was broken. Renovation and restoration of that which was broken. You know, each one of us in our lives, once upon a time, you know, we were broken. Amen? We were disconnected from God. But God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, brought renovation and restoration into each one of our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, that's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And so we've been redeemed, we've been restored, we've been reconnected, we've been reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's God's gift to us. And so salvation that we all enjoy today, you know, is a gift. It's God's gift to us. Amen? And so we are drawn to God now. Amen? So Bible says old things. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a new creature. Amen. Turn to your other neighbor and say that you're a new creature. So the Bible says old things have passed away. So our past is gone. But you know, we've been brought near to God. So the message, okay, the message of the cross is that we've been restored. You see, the Bible says it's not of works. And so once upon a time, when we're disconnected from God, the good news today, you know, the gospel simply means good news. Yeah? Just good news. That's all the gospel is. And so the message that God has given to us to take out to the world is good news. So we're the bearers of good news. Sometimes, you know, you have the Sharia law, the terrorists who are trying to enforce their will upon the people. But the message of the gospel, the message of the cross is good news. And Bible says the good news, it draws men to God. It draws men to repentance. Because the message is good news that, look, you don't have to work. You don't have to do it. There aren't rules and regulations that you have to stick to or abide by. But God accepts all. And we need to take this message to the world. The Bible says in, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Let's look at that. And the Bible says, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that word reconcile means to be reunited once again, to be realigned with God. You see, the whole message of the gospel is that, you know, we've been connected back to God. We know the story of the Garden of Eden, of how man fell. And there was a divine disconnect between man and God. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to restore that relationship that was broken, to restore that connection that had disconnected the human race from the family of God. Amen? To bring that into alignment once again. That was the whole purpose and mission of Christ, to bring that relationship back into alignment once again. Amen? And so that is the message that has been committed to you and to me and to each one of us to carry to the world. You know, so in this, well, in this these coming weeks up, you know, we've been doing the 2, 4, 6 for 21 days. That's two of us praying for a total of 6 people, yeah, for a time period of 21 days. Amen? And then ultimately invited them to the guest service. You know, it's so interesting that just recently after my sort of accident, and I've been like communicating with the lady who was the witness at that accident there, because, you know, she was directly in front of my wife's car and actually saw in her rear view mirror the impact on what happened. But, you know, as we're discussing and, you know, just chatting, sending texts back and forth, because we had to exchange numbers and just to keep in touch, and she's filling out some police reports and stuff. But I said to her that, you know, I'd really love to invite you to our church, to our guest service, you know, that's coming up here in a week's time or so. And she sort of took it back and said, that's very kind of you and stuff, but unfortunately, I'm already going to a christening on that date. I said, okay. I said, oh, well, never mind. Maybe next time then. But, you know, it was an opportunity. And God said, you know, because I was a little hesitant about it because of kind of the circumstance. And I thought, well, is it right to do this? And I said, no, I'm going to do it. But, you know, it's just obedience. And so in whatever setting we're in, basically what I'm saying, there are always opportunities to reach out to people. You know, there are some colleagues at work that I've been praying for and reaching out to as well. And so I've given them like a flyer and a card and said, no, I'd love for you to come. So that there's a guy that I've been working on and praying for over a period of time. And I believe that he's going to come as well, you know, to the guest service. And so in whatever situation we're in, wherever it is that we work, there are always opportunities, amen, that we can take advantage of to bring people and to invite them, you know, to Christ. And so I want to challenge us really this morning and this week, you know, to continue to spread the message. You know, someone said that not everybody feels that they're called to a pulpit ministry. But you know what? Our lives should preach. The way that we live, someone said, you know, God's life is God's gift to us. And the way that we live our lives is our gift back to God. Amen? Life is God's gift to us. The way that we live our lives is our gift back to God. And so the Bible calls us to live lives that are worthy of God, to live lives that honor him. Amen? And so our lives should preach. So sometimes what you don't do is just as important as what you do. So sometimes you make decisions not to do something. And so the Bible speaks about when your friends become amazed that you don't indulge in the same sort of vain, dishonoring things, you know, that they do or that they get involved in. You know, I love my sister's testimony about, you know, her reluctance to sign, you know, her name towards something that she didn't believe was right, you know, in her heart. And you see, and God will honor your decision, amen? Because the Bible says God watches over you and watches over his word, you know, to perform it in your life. And so often in life, At every junction, if you like, we have choices. You know, you get to a fork in the road, and you have a choice to turn left or to turn right. But whatever the choice is, you see, God is watching. Someone said that, you know, doing the right thing, it's or honor is about doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. Sometimes you think, oh, there's nobody here, so I can get away with it. But you know what? God is watching. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth to see those whose hearts are perfect towards him. So I want to encourage us this morning to take this message, the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel of peace, with us, you know, to the world, into our world, into our communities, wherever we are, whatever it is that we do. We need to carry the message of God's love, of God's nature, into our communities and share the love of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just stand to our feet? You know, today we're going to be baptizing at least 18 candidates for water baptism. And you know, it's a joy to baptize them. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So God has, no, it's not an option. God has commanded us to preach the gospel and to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And baptism in itself is the seal. See, we don't baptize babies because they haven't made that decision. We baptize people as adults because they've made a decision to follow Jesus. Because they've made a decision to separate themselves from their past lives and to go into a new life following Christ. Amen. And that's the decision that each and every one of us have already made. But if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who has never made that decision, you've never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, then I want to give an opportunity to you this morning to make that decision. It's the greatest decision that you'll ever make, because the message of the cross is that God loves you. The message of the cross is that Jesus Christ came and died for you, that he took your place, that he took your sin, that he took your pain, that he took your diseases, and he was nailed to the cross. And that if by faith you receive me into your heart, you say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, then he says, I'm standing at the door of your heart knocking, that if anybody hears my voice and responds and opens that door, then he will come inside and sup with him. And so if there's anyone under the sound of my voice this morning listening over the internet, you've never made that decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, then there's an opportunity for you to receive Jesus today. I just want you to put your hand up high where I can see it, and then we'll pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all family. We've made that decision already. Then let's pray this prayer of rededication, just recommitment of our hearts and lives to the Lord. Father, we, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you because your word says, if anyone is in Christ, then he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So, Father, I thank you for making me a new creature. Thank you that old things in my life have passed away, and that all things have become new. So Father, help me to live my life in such a way that you are glorified every single day in all that I do, in all that I think, in all that I say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we bless you today. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.